Next item on the agenda is item number 5, Richard Wineland, 09-0132. Morning, sir.
Morning, Mr. Bowman. Members of the commission, how are you all today?
Great.
This item is an appeal of the decision by the Lancaster County Wetland Board of Mr. Wineland's application. It's situated here, sorry about that. His application to install 250 linear feet of quarrystone riprap revetment at his shoreline on Taylor Creek in Lancaster County. I have several slides to kind of orient the commission to where the project is. These were not actually part of the Wetlands Board's record, but I would ask you to consider these and not consider it opening the record. Okay. Here we are in Lancaster County, Route 3 bridge going over the Rappahannock River. Rappahannock goes up into the Coratome, and this is Taylor Creek. A little closer look coming in off the Coratome and into Taylor Creek. This parcel here is Mr. Wineland's property. This is from our more recent 2007, I guess it is, Vigen series. You can see this parcel here. There's a spit of sand that comes down this way that's been armored. There's been some shoreline work on his different portions of his property. The current request was to rearmor this groin, put in some sand. There's some returns coming in here. The subject of the appeal is actually a portion of the shoreline in this cove area, which is 250 feet of new riprap revetment. These are the project drawings. I'm going to go back to this one. Just leave it here. All of the proposed work that I had mentioned was approved except for the 250-foot section of revetment in this location. There was also a boat ramp that was proposed that was not approved. The other sections were approved by the board. Dr. Wineland submitted a letter of appeal on March 23, 2009. As a result, his appeal was considered timely under the provisions of the code. In his letter, Dr. Wineland stated the board's decision to deny that 250-foot section of revetment, that was his only issue, had prejudiced his rights as an applicant because the findings in the decision were unsupported by the evidence on the record, considered as a whole, and were arbitrary, capricious, and an abuse of discretion. His letter stated that there is visible undercutting of the bank with exposed root systems and downed trees indicating erosion to him at the site. He disagreed with the comment by the board member who made the motion to deny that section of revetment that there was no active detrimental erosion occurring there. He also stated there was very little discussion by the board regarding the denial of that section of the application or consideration of modifying that section of the application before it was put to a vote. He stated that his agent felt that the proper consideration was not given to the current state of the shoreline by the board members before it was put to a vote. And furthermore, he believes that the design of the revetment minimizes the environmental impact while offering a cost-effective solution for protecting his property. Again, I'm not going to show any slides of the shoreline. The board members, each and every board member in Lancaster County, will go to each application that requires a wetlands hearing so they can make an independent assessment of the shoreline themselves.
You mean they go to the location independently for the record?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. The board held their hearing on March 12th, subsequent to the individuals going out and taking a look at the site. Mr. Joey Scott of the Salt and the Earth is the agent representing Dr. Wineland. At the beginning of the hearing, the VIMS shoreline permit application report was read into the record. VIMS no longer goes out on site to do their assessments. They do it remotely through GIS and through some other tools that they use. So their report is not really an on-site evaluation of the shoreline condition. The report indicated that the area of the proposed revetment was not at risk from erosion and that the site was indicative of a low-energy condition. According to VIMS, the preferred approach was for the applicant to grade the bank, any unstable bank areas, deposit sand in the nearshore area, plant marsh grass, from the overhanging trees rather than installing a rock revetment in that location. Member Wayne Cannon began the discussion by asking Mr. Scott, the agent, about planting vegetation in this particular area. He also stated that he hadn't noticed any active erosion along the mean high. This is Member Cannon. Stated that he hadn't noticed any active erosion along the mean high water line that would warrant a riprap revetment on this part of the property. Nor did he feel that the gravel ramp was necessary since the homeowner already had docket space at his pier. Mr. Scott responded by stating that it was wave action from boats in the area that was the major concern, and that this portion of the shoreline did have direct, this portion of the shoreline did not have direct sunlight all day, therefore it may not be feasible to plant wetland vegetation in this area as an alternative to the revetment. Additional discussion of the potential for planting wetland vegetation and the need for the ramp followed. Mr. Scott stated that the 250-foot revetment was proposed in an area where two large oak trees were down and there were other trees the homeowner wanted to take out. A discussion of the ramp portion of the project followed. Mr. Brian Barnes, staff to the board, stated that according to the county's zoning ordinance, private boat ramps are a by right use, but the Bay Act would have final say regarding approval of the ramp by the county. At the conclusion of all this discussion, and this is all in your packet, starting with the minutes on page, I didn't want to read through point by point, but 6A1 is the beginning of the approved minutes. Where all the discussion of the revetment and the ramp are contained. At the conclusion of the discussion, Member Cannon made the motion to deny the 250-foot section of revetment and the gravel ramp, but to approve the remainder of the application, including the two 25-foot riprap returns, the rearmoring of the existing groin, and the nourishment on the existing beach area. Member Marsha Sitnick seconded the motion, and the motion passed unanimously 5-0. Staff was present at the board meeting, as we always are. Based on my attendance there and our review of the record as provided by the board, we cannot, however, agree that the board acted in a manner that prejudiced Dr. Wineland's rights as an applicant, or that their findings and decision were unsupported by the evidence on the record. Considered as a whole. We also do not believe the board's decision was arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion. As I had mentioned, as the board does with all wetland applications, board members each individually all go to the site to look at the proposal prior to the hearing. In this case, as with all the work that's done by the Salt and the Earth, the areas are clearly staked so they can get a pretty good idea of what's proposed. They each observed firsthand the condition of the shoreline at the site of the proposed revetment and ramp. I got a little ahead of myself. I'm going to go now into the actual project drawings, which would show project location. This is oriented north is now to the southwest, so it's oriented differently than the photo you just saw. This is the spit as you're coming into Taylor Creek. This was a proposed area of beach nourishment, the proposed existing groin that was to be rearmored, a 25-foot section of return on this revetment, a 25-foot section of return on this revetment. Existing revetment wraps around the point, stopping here. This section is the new 250-foot section of revetment in this cove area, and again, the proposed gravel boat ramp. Section views of the returns showing some of the bank slumping, showing existing trees falling, stump to be removed. These stakes, as shown in the drawings, were in fact on site for when the board inspected it, when the board members inspected it, all above mean high water in section A1. This was the existing stone groin that's to be top dressed, if you will, with larger stone armored. This actually does require authorization from the commission as well. The beach nourishment down to the low water line, the boat ramp being denied. And So that gives you an idea of what the proposal included. Getting back to my summary and recommendation, the board did observe firsthand the site conditions, including the drawings that I just showed with the staked areas. Although the VIMS personnel never conducted a field inspection of the site, their report clearly stated that their conclusion clearly stated that there was no active detrimental erosion at the site. In staff's opinion, there was substantial discussion of the revetment, contrary to Dr. Wineland's letter, and that's reflected in the minutes, as well as both the revetment and the boat ramp portions of the application. And while staff believes, while there certainly could have been modifications to either the boat ramp or the revetment that might have swayed the board's decision in this or something they might have felt a little more comfortable with, those modifications were not offered up at the time of the hearing. In conclusion, based on our review of the record, we find no procedural error. We believe that the County Wetlands Board did not substantially prejudice the rights of the applicant, nor was their decision to deny that section of revetment in the boat ramp arbitrary and capricious or an abuse of discretion. Accordingly, we would recommend that this commission upholds the Wetlands Board action in this matter. And as with all applications or denials, the applicant would be free to resubmit in modified form for any modification that the board may feel might be more appropriate for the site. I was a little disjointed there. I apologize for that. I'd be happy to answer any questions. As I said, I was at the Wetland Board meeting. Maybe able to clarify something.
Any questions, Mr. Woodard? Mr. Schick?
So basically, as far as the ramp goes, they felt that the ramp wasn't necessary because he had a boat slip.
Correct. He currently uses a section of the shoreline to launch small boats, an unimproved ramp, if you will. He wanted to improve that with gravel. There was some discussion of possibly using oyster shell. But the board didn't feel that a private ramp was necessary, that he had adequate access both at that existing ramp site for how infrequently he uses it, as well as he has dockage space with a boat lift at his pier.
And that was at a different location.
Correct. I can
place the launch.
For orientation, put that back up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, keeping in mind, north is this direction, but essentially there was a little cut through the trees and a natural swale, if you will, that goes down into this cove area. This was the 10-foot wide by 40-foot total length gravel ramp, which would actually kind of go through the revetment, the 250-foot revetment area. Existing revetment stops, I believe, here at 0.6. Pick up and run this part of the shoreline. But again, he's got an existing pier that shows up. He's got a boat lift and a couple other little lifts here. You can barely see it, but there's a little bit less treed area there. The ramp was about, the boat ramp was about that location, yes, sir.
Further questions? Mr. Schick, do you follow up? Mr. Fox.
How far away is the nearest public boat ramp?
There's a public boat ramp at Yankee Point on the opposite side of the Coratomen. There's a small one on Carter Creek in Irvington. I would say by road probably at least 5 miles.
Yeah, to get to Yankee Point, it's a long ways
away. Yeah, a long ways away. By water, it's not at all. But and that would be a pay ramp there in on Carter Creek. Steamboat Road.
Yeah, and you'd have to come out into the Rappahannock and with a small boat. That
yes, sir.
Would be different.
Yes, sir. I'm not aware of any public ramps on the Coratomen shoreline except Yankee Point on the opposite side of Coratomen.
Further questions? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. with respect to the issue of the applicant taking exception to the fact that options weren't really discussed at the Wetlands Board hearing. it seems that there is some discussion of alternative approaches, both in the VIMS report and in the transcript. Was there not a discussion about a living shoreline approach? It seems like some of these questions that are summarized or comments that are summarized in your reports indicate that the board members were asking about plannings and the approach that was basically recommended by them.
Correct. That there was discussion of plantings in that area, what would be required as far as cutting the overhanging tree limbs to get appropriate light on site, raising the elevation. And actually, the agent, I believe, mentioned in the minutes, it's probably reflected, about the living shoreline approach and the cost of that relative to the cost of the revetment wouldn't be a whole lot less, and didn't feel it would work because of the sunlight. So, I would say that there was discussion of alternatives, not necessarily a different design of the revetment itself, but a different approach rather than a revetment.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thanks, Jay. Mm-hmm. Is the appellant here or represented?
I'm actually Joey Scum, the agent for the project team. Dr. Wyman actually did not attend the wetlands hearing, but he is here.
Okay.
Also.
Raise your hand. Solemnly swear testimony that you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
State your name for the record again, please.
It's Joseph Scott.
Thank you. Proceed.
I guess I'll read what I wrote, and then I can kind of talk. I'm Joey Scott. I'm the president, secretary, accountant, chief bottle washer, everything that there is associated with the salt and the earth. And I was agent for Dr. Weiland at this project. I represent him before the Lancaster County Wetlands Board. There's a good reason that no one in this commission has seen me in the setting before. I've been the owner for the Salt and the Earth for about 5 years now. And up until the economy started falling apart, I usually did about 110 to 120 permits a year for erosion control and piers. In the grand scheme of the 2,000 to 3,000 JPAs that come through VMRC each year, that's less than 5% of the total permits filed. I'm a one-man show, but I pride myself in not making the extensive nature of the habitat permit process any greater. I do this by trying to minimize the environmental impacts to the waterways to the greatest extent possible, and still being able to achieve the solutions that property owners are looking for. I've worked mainly in the Northern Neck Middle Peninsula area, and I always strive to compromise with any wetlands board that has any issues with any portions of the projects that I bring before them, because I actually am a firm believer in the citizen-comprised board that's in place, even though almost everyone I perform work for doesn't see it that way. They kind of see it as more bureaucracy, but I believe that the boards are important because they're everyday citizens trying to manage the balance of protecting the wetlands and also protecting property rights. So I'm not really here today to try to destroy the wetlands board system or whatever anyone may be thinking. Unfortunately, with government budget constraints and various pushes to bring attention to many different causes, the members of the boards who are not usually marine scientists or politicians or anything like that rely heavily on scientific views to evaluate some more recent projects. And unfortunately, as Jay stated, a lot of the reviews that come out now are done remotely by the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. And all the different boards that I've attended, board meetings that I've been before in Lancaster and in the Middle Peninsula, Northern Neck area, it seems to be causing some confusion, because a lot of the problems with it is that it seems like it's sort of a cut and paste sort of thing. You know, if you want revetment, then they're going to say you need to live in shoreline. So in the particular case of Dr. Weiland, the Lancaster County Board did something I've never encountered before. I feel they acted in haste in voting to deny Dr. Weiland's revetment, because many times I've come before them and they've requested modified plans or opened more discussion to further minimize the project as proposed. At best, if they disagree with the whole project, they would usually table it with the direction to make necessary changes for approval. But in this particular case, I don't believe that was the case. There were alternatives discussed. That's in the record. But there was no further discussion brought up about to scale the project with the revetment in it, because it tended to, as it was doing here, gravitate towards the boat ramp. Dr. Wildland's owned the property for nearly 30 years. He's constructed various erosion control structures over time as on an as-needed basis. And this portion of the project is just the same. Contractor who put the revetments in that would join this piece did not install anything in this area at the time that they constructed the rest of the revetment because it did not need it. However, Dr. Wildland has stated to me that due to the width of the creek in front of his property, it's become kind of a hot spot for water skiers and jet skis. And he actually believes that boat wakes are causing most of what's going on in the cove area. And that brings us to here. When we discussed what Vims had recommended, which was to create a living shoreline, which I don't have a problem with. I can draw whatever you want me to draw. My biggest issue with that, and you can see it from this picture here, is that sunlight is an issue because it's a heavily forested bank on that side. And in order to create a living shoreline, I would say he needs to have at least 10 to 15 feet of a buffer, which would be intertidal area that's going to be planted with alternate flora. Because if wildlands grasses are up against jet skis and skiers, that you just can't plant 2 or 3 feet of grass in front of a bank and expect it to work. In doing that, I felt, and I conveyed this to the board, it's in the record, that there would have to be a significant alteration of the riparian area, which are the trees on the upland, which Dr. Wineland is trying to avoid, and in many cases, Vims is telling us to avoid, to not cut down all the trees on the bank. We want to keep the trees and we want to keep the grass. So that's why, that was the main reason for saying, you know, we don't believe that this living shoreline would work in this particular case, because you're getting rid of a good buffer, not getting rid of, but severely altering, in my opinion, a good buffer that's there. So why not just put a small stone revetment connected into what's already there and let the trees stay on the shoreline, and the revetment will be hand stacked, very small, no problem. The reason why I believe that the board actually acted in a manner to prejudice Dr. Wineland is, and see, I don't know if you allow me to do this, I have pictures of the site, which were not at the wetlands hearing because the wetlands board members went to the site to view it. Obviously, you guys have not been to the site to view it. The pictures are what's exactly at the site. If you could take a look at them, I think that would offer some evidence as to what we're trying to say as far as their act being arbitrary and saying that there's no active erosion. So we would actually have to request to open the record, or however you guys do it. And the main reason for that, and the main reason for all of this, is because, and this is also off of the record, previous months, I'm at the board meeting very often, previous months and months after this meeting, the Lancaster County Board has approved projects that are almost exactly the same as this small cove setting, just a small amount of riprap at the base, and there's an inconsistency there. And what I don't want to have to do is I'm not trying to have you guys overrule the County Wetlands Board, but I also don't want Dr. Wineland to have to go through the whole entire process again because the county decided on a whim that, you know, that it didn't need to be done, and they all just kind of voted on it, because it just seems like to me that's a hardship that he shouldn't have to face when other projects have been approved in the same manner.
The issue that we're confronted with, as you know, because you used the term arbitrary in decision making, is the commission's responsibility here is not to subject itself, as far as an opinion is concerned, or supplant our judgment for that of the Wetlands Board. Our decision is very, very specific. Our responsibility is very, very narrowly tailored under 28.213.13, which states the Commission shall modify, remand, or reverse the decision of the Wetlands Board if the Wetlands Board, in reaching its decision, failed to fulfill its responsibilities. The substantial rights of the appellant or the applicant have been prejudiced because the findings, conclusions, or decisions of the Board are in violation of constitutional provisions, in excess of statutory authority or jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board, made upon unlawful procedure, affected by other error of law, unsupported by the evidence on the record considered as a whole, or arbitrary, capricious, and abuse of discretion. Those are the boilerplate, sir, you must use and when you make your argument to this commission as to why they erred. We can't. We basically have at our avail what they had at their avail, and that is the report from Vims and the record. So we are not going to get into a situation where we start second-guessing the decision made by the Wetlands Board unless it can be shown that they have violated this specific statute. We're constrained to that. It's not that we're not sympathetic, but that's the narrow constraint.
Well, for what I believe is arbitrary is what the definition of active erosion is. And in this particular case, for what Dr. Wineland would like to achieve, the boat ramp is out the window. He's not even worried about that anymore. But he does have issues with erosion there. And at very best, you know, if it could at least be remanded back to the board to review again, because we do believe that there is active erosion there. And it's one of those, what is active erosion?
Okay.
So we have had, and this is not on the record either, but we've had informal conversation with members of the board, the wetlands administrators here, and he can confirm that, in which they believe that something needs to be done. Shouldn't just be outright denied, and that's why we're hoping for, at best, if it would at least be remanded so that we can go there next month and discuss it instead of refiling, and this six-month process becomes a nine-month process.
I'll put that to the commission before, but as I said, keep in mind we are, I believe in the code and believe in the application of it, and we're narrowly constrained by that.
Right, and that's the only way that I could really offer up any evidence that it was arbitrary would be to show you pictures of the site that the same thing that they saw, but then once again, arbitrary is a tricky word too, because then it's just the opinion of yours versus theirs.
That's correct.
But the biggest issue with this is trying to get it back to the board for reconsideration. If they decide again that nothing needs to be done, then that's the way it is. But there are certain things that weren't mentioned in the original record, like location of drain fields near the property, things that I didn't know about at the time, things that weren't brought up, and that's what kind of caught me all off guard with dealing with the Lancaster County Board, because I've never really had, it's always been very open, never very formal, always, you know, give and take, and we talked about the alternatives, we jumped through the boat ramp, and then there was motions, you know, let's do this but deny this, which was quickly.
So you think the boat ramp at that time became a showstopper?
Yeah, and it all ended within a few seconds, which is not normal. It's usually well, wait a second, we don't want to send you away with nothing. I mean, at best, please.
Well,
let's not a living shoreline.
Let's do this. Does Mr. Wineland wish to address the commission?
Yes, he.
Dr. Wineland, does he wish to address the commission? Because I'm also going to hear from the board administrator as well. So.
Right.
Does anybody have any questions to the gentleman at the floor?
Yes. If you have any questions, I might be able to answer them.
We may have some later.
Okay.
Dr. Wineland, come forward. Do you wish to address the commission, sir?
Yes, sir, if I...
Sure, absolutely.
Just a word.
Sure. I'm sorry?
And keeping in mind, Dr. Wineland was not present at the Wetland Board hearing.
Sure can. Come forward, sir, please.
Thank you.
Here's your right hand. You saw him swear the testimony that you're about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except to God. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Richard Wineland. I'm a local property owner in Lancaster County, homeowner at this site for about 20 years. The property's been in the family for about 30 years. And many years ago, I put in the minimal amount of riprap that I could afford at the time. And over the years, the property has been eroding significantly at, you know, the point in question, which is inside that cove. Thank you. Right. Well, right, you can see right here, there's a big oak tree that has just fallen down. Multiple other trees have gone down. The shoreline has eroded probably 8 to 10 feet based on dead trees that are sitting in the creek. And and I don't want to spend money on a cove that's not being eroded any more than anybody else doesn't want to spend money. But so I applied for a permit, and the area right over here is the drainage field for my house, and the edge of the drainage field is now only 38 feet from the cove. And so I applied with Joey's help for riprap along the shoreline, feeling that I'm forced to do something about this now. There are multiple trees down, multiple signs of undercutting, some places 3 foot where I could stick my hand in underneath the bank. And when this all came about, I asked Joey, is this what I needed to be at this hearing? And he said, no, you know, this is pretty standard. Permits have been granted before this, identical, and there'd be no, you know, he thought that there would be no problem with it. It was, as you all know, denied. And I have since talked to board members, and I've been told that had they been there at low tide and seen how the undercutting was, I was there when three of them were there, and we all walked the bank, and they go, oh my goodness, well, and I didn't know it was this bad. I was also told by the board members that they, by a board member, that they feel that the BIMS directive sort of ties their hands. They said, you know, what are we going to do? We're the county board. We get this directive from BIMS, and, you know, we feel obliged to follow it, even though the BIMS statement is sort of generic.
Okay.
And they have not been there. So I talked to the chairman of the Wetlands Board, and she told me personally, and it was on a personal note, that she hopes that this gets remanded back to the board so that they can correct what she feels was an error.
Okay. What we'll do is, that's fine. Any questions of Dr. Wineland? Because we're getting very close to the threshold of opening the record versus not at this point. All right. Thank you.
And we do have pictures of trees down and everything. That's
thank you, sir. Is anyone here from the Wetlands Board? Come forward. Who's going to speak? I saw two hands. That's fine.
My name is Brian Barnes. I'm the Environmental Compliance Officer for Lancaster.
Raise your right hand. So I'm going to swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall be God. Proceed. Did you get his name? Okay, Michelle. Proceed.
I just wanted to make myself available for any questions that you all might have. I'm main staff for the Wetlands Board. I gather all the data I can and present it to the board, and thank goodness it's not my decision to make. It's up to the five of them. Okay. These are very tough decisions to make. And
but as staff are here, do you speak for the Wetlands Board as you're here today?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
There's been some discussion, and I like good government. I think good government's designed to help those involved. That's why we're here. We're also somewhat constrained by the law, as you heard me explain to the gentleman. There has been some testimony today that is somewhat indicative to me that the board would be willing to hear this issue in a modified state or make some different arrangements. Do you have any sentiment, or can you comment to that?
I can't speak for the board as an aggregate, but there's some feeling amongst some of the members that, you know, upon further review of the site, that part of it at least does have somewhat of a more serious erosion problem than maybe at first glance you first appear. Up in the cove area where it's very narrow, very shallow, maybe not so much, but certainly the facts, and there again, we can't even enter that into consideration because it would be reopening the record, but things like the proximity of the drain field to the edge of the water was not known by anyone at that time. So those are things that change decisions. Of course, if had that been presented to them at the hearing, I'm sure perhaps that would have changed things.
So maybe this the decision, you know, the term arbitrary being in the eye of the beholder, and arbitrary is not always a negative term. It is a term, I think, reserved for one person's view versus another person's view at times. So it sounds to me like there may have been somewhat of a... Mr. Tanker?
I would just, when we look at 28.2, 1413, in section 2 of that, it talks about unsupported, number E, unsupported by evidence of the record. And I, given that each member visited the site, tell me a little bit about the discussion of the evidence that they each saw. So, because that seems to me perhaps where we have some of the issues here is that they visited individually, and so each person saw something different, and I don't know if it seems to me from the, some of the testimony where they really articulated what the board as a whole saw.
Sure. There again, I went to the site myself and met with Dr. Weinland, just he and I, and since I'm also the administrator for Chesapeake Bay Act within the county, that was my main goal that day with Dr. Weinland, was discussing the issue of the trees. There are several trees falling in the water. And, you know, when I do these things, invariably somebody always asks, well, what are my chances with the board? And, you know, I'm unbiased advice. I said, well, look, here you have a very low bank, almost no erosion, and here it gets pretty high. I said, so I don't know. You know, maybe it'll be 50-50. Maybe it's all or nothing. You never know what's going to happen with the board. And we, you know, you always hear the thing, and I'm sure you guys do too, case-by-case basis. And you really have to take everything case-by-case because it's very different from creek to creek, site to site. I think, like I said, some of the evidence that's come up since then has changed somewhat, and I think, you know, possibly that would have changed with some of the board members, maybe not with others. So we have a five-member board, and I think they do a pretty good job of weighing the needs of the homeowner versus habitat loss and things of that nature. So.
Further questions of the gentleman?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Open for comment. Mr. Tankard.
Following back up on that, unsupported by evidence, it seems clear to me that the evidence wasn't widely seen as the same by the board. So in that respect, arbitrary, as you mentioned earlier, seems to apply in some respect to this case. The evidence, because it wasn't solid, seems arbitrary.
Mr. Schick?
I also think that the although they discussed other methods, since the owner wasn't there, the opportunity to modify this permit probably wasn't as apparent, and they probably would have been more prudent to put that off another month to look into some of the alternatives that they were suggesting at the time, and as opposed to just denying it completely. I don't know how that fits into the arbitrary concept, but I think that would have been a more prudent effort. And without seeing things myself, I don't know, and I can't judge that way, and I'm not supposed to judge
that's
that
right.
way. So, but I think that in the interest of good government, that probably would be the prudent measures.
We can't hold it against the board that the applicant himself wasn't there.
No, but that's not the board's fault, and I understand that. So
absolutely, Mr. Holland.
Are you prepared for a motion, sir?
I am.
I would move that we remand this back to the Lancaster County Wetland Board.
For what reason?
From the information that we've received today, based on all that information.
Is there a second to the motion?
I second that, and note that I don't find that this is not a negative comment on the board's action. It's just it seems like all involved seems like we could use another go at it.
Motion made and second. Further comment? Mr. Tankard?
Further comment. Again, I just would reference again 28.2, 14.13. It seems to the evidence.
Is that 13.13 or 14.13?
14.13.
I believe it's 13.
The commission to modify remand decisions of Willens.
Oh, the 14.13?
He's in Sand Dunes and Beaches.
Yeah, that, you're in Sand Dunes and Beaches. How about my look at 13.13?
28.2, 13.13.
Yes, sir.
Very much, sir. Long weekend, I suppose.
That's okay. We will get through it.
But in any case, it seems to me that with regard to that statute, that we have it within our purview to remand this back to the Wetlands Board.
Motion made and seconded to remand to the Wetlands Board. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
One no. Motion carries. Mr. Robbins votes no. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I echo Mr. Schick's sentiment. This is no reflection whatsoever on the diligence, the duty, and the good work that the Wetlands Board does. We just, as a majority, believe that that there are certain things that could have been looked at in a little bit different manner, and that's based on the evidence we received here today and by some's own admission. Okay. Thank you very much, and thank the Wetlands Board for the good work that they did.